Everybody say quicken. That means made alive. That's King James for made alive. Hath he quickened, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And you notice there in parentheses, in my Bible it says, by grace you're saved. 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you remember in chapter 1, several weeks ago, we saw the work that God did in Christ through the power of the resurrection. It says this, that God, by his exceeding great power, raised Christ from the dead. Now, I want you to see why it's the only place. You remember me talking about this? It's the only place that I'm aware of where it references God needing, using, whatever, exceeding great power. I would think that him speaking to an earth that was void and without form, and speaking to the waters and the forming of land and all now that is creation, I'd think that would take exceeding great power. I'd think that calling a dead man out of a tomb, Lazarus, that would be exceeding great power. But it's not used in those cases. But in this case, it's spoken of in reference to verse 20 of chapter 1. If you remember, once you take it, just go back a chapter where it says, which he, let me just back up to 19 so you understand the exceeding great power reference that I'm making. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought according to the working of his mighty power, exceeding greatness of his power, that's what 19 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him, Jesus, at his own right hand. These are references to the work of God. Religion doesn't talk about this stuff a lot, because if I can keep you in the dark and keep you afraid of God, and keep you in question about the work of Jesus, I can control you. It's the making of cults. It's the making of religion. I may know that I'm not your Savior. I may be your pastor, but my main job is to feed the flock of God. I don't run your life. I don't tell you the decisions to make. I give you the Word of God. I teach you about the anointing that is within, and then teach you how to walk on your own and trust God. That's how people grow. Religion wants to keep you in the dark. It's amazing. It isn't just the Catholic Church that for how many hundred years forbid people to even read their Bibles. And when it was read in worship, it was read in Latin. There are still places that do that. But you know, we in a lot of our Pentecostal and fundamentalist churches right now in modern day, in this postmodern time, we kind of do the same thing, because if I can keep the law over your head and keep you questioning your salvation and questioning your position in God, I can always, in pointing to your fault, have a little bit of leverage over your life. How many know that's not the way God intended it at all? No man should have rule over you. How many know we yield to those who scripturally are in authority over us as they teach the word? Big difference. Are you with me? Okay. I'm glad for the freedom that we have in Jesus. We no longer need a priest. We have a priest. His name is Jesus. I go directly to the Father in his name because of the work that he did. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. I don't know how I got off into all that, but we'll try to remember where I was at and pick up from there. Help me, somebody. Huh? Okay, yeah, I'll go back there and then I'll probably remember where I was, thought was, and finish it. Okay, I got to do that at least once a service. Keep me honest. All right, so here we go. Here, what Scripture says here, that it was this exceeding greatness of his power towards usward who believe, which he wrought in Christ, skipping down, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Now, the reason it took exceeding great power is found in the verse that we're reading now in chapter 2. Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, something else was going on. Look around the room. It wasn't. We were found in him in that work. Here's the way Paul put it in Galatians 2:20. How many can quote it with me? This is one I quote almost every service as well. For I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Powerful stuff. Go back to chapter 2 then, and that throws a little bit more light on what is being said here. It says, even, verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath made alive us, quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together. That's why it took exceeding great power. We were raised up together with him. Isn't that amazing? To sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm going to challenge you this morning. It takes faith to dare to believe that and to see yourself that way. But he is speaking directly now to a new identity. I'm so glad that all of us are made different. We all come from different walks of life. We all have an identity that we're recognized for. What we do, different. And there's nothing wrong with that. But ultimately, my identity is no longer in what I do, what I wear, a hat, dress, what I drive. My identity now is found in him. Seated together in the heavenlies is how God sees you. And it is a day-to-day walk of faith to dare to believe that what he has said about us. Hey, Kevin Hedgepeth, how are you, brother? The Cowboys have come to town. That's so awesome. Praise the Lord. A new identity because of Jesus. Seated together, look at what he says, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's one little word there that I want you to notice. It's sit. It speaks of rest. It speaks of a completed work. We're taught in churches all over America and really all over this town, we got to be busy. You got to be doing maintenance all the time. You got to be checking yourself up constantly. You got to make sure you're in line. You got to make sure, you got to stay in position. You got to stay in position for the anointing. You got to stand. Let me tell you something, that's dangerous thinking, because after a while, his power through you, if you're not careful, there'll be a subtle adjustment, and you'll think that by your much doing, that somehow you're going to get a little extra. Let me tell you something about, you hear it on TV all the time, and I pick on it from time to time, and so today's another time I'm going to pick on it. I hear it all the time. You send me people, I'm telling you what, this is a prophetic word from God. And the Lord has spoken, and the year 2019 will be the year of the latter rain of God. Well, there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. Those are great promises. But then they'll pull some number out of their hat from something they've been preaching, and they'll say, today this number's important, and if you will send in, you know, it'll be Jeremiah 6:12 or 29:11, and if you'll send in today $29.11, or they might say $2,900, that the Lord is going to give you a double portion of his anointing. How many have heard this stuff? You can't double up on everything already. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 state clearly that if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You can't better up on the work that God has already done through Jesus. Here's the way Peter put it. He said, you already have everything in you that you need to live in this life. That pertains to life, he said, and godliness. Our journey and our walk in Jesus until he returns or till we go to be with him is about learning the unsearchable riches that are found in God through Christ Jesus in you already. Let me quote another one I quote all the time. And I'm purposely redundant because I believe that as we repeat the word of God, it begins to make its way and soak down. How many know that's the way the Holy Spirit works? Begins to soak down past the surface and begins to become a part of heart belief. Philemon 1:6 says this, that our faith, write that down. Hopefully you know that by faith. Philemon 1:6 says that our faith is made, do I have the right verse? Do I have it? That the communication of our faith, the expression of, the showing forth of what we believe, the communication of our faith is made effective. In other words, this thing, this walk of faith, when somebody says, man, I'm kind of hurting, and you don't remain quiet, but you say, well, listen, would you mind? Can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? Right there, you're demonstrating faith. And that kind of faith becomes effective. Can you say effective this morning? Becomes effective how? Not through fasting. Through sacrifice. I'm not saying those things are wrong. But that has more to do with you, not what you're going to get from God. The Word of God is clear. Everything God was going to do for you, he has already done in full in Jesus. And if you believed in Jesus, he put his Spirit in you, made you a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I love this. We were talking about this in men's group. Says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, any man, anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all, can you shout all this morning, all things have become new. And the next verse says, and all this stuff that's new, he's not talking about your lifestyle. He's talking about what he has put inside of the human spirit when we confess Jesus as Lord. He said, and all these things are of God. He's calling on things that have already been established in you. Religion will keep this hidden from you. But the preaching of the gospel will continually unveil what God already has done in you. That's why John can so boldly declare about a baby Christian. Just anybody who has believed and confessed that he was raised from the dead. That's why, John, listen, man, you don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to know how to quote scripture like I do. It's good to learn and to know. Absolutely. That's where your strength and growth and maturity is going to come from. But you don't have to wait. Right now, the Bible says great power is on the inside of you. That's why he said we can say greater is he. Are you here today? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah, greater is he. I'll tell you what, the presence of God in me is greater than any foe. If we'll trust and believe. And here's what Philemon 1:6 says, that the communication of that kind of faith is made effective, how? Through the acknowledging. What does it mean to acknowledge? to agree. To recognize a truth and to place yourself in agreement with it. Now listen to the next part. Man, that's perfect, John. So our communication is made effectual when we come into agreement with truth. Philemon 1:6, read it. Our communication of our faith is made effectual. How? Through the acknowledgement of what? All that's in the Bible? All that's in Jesus? All that's in heaven? No. Is made effectual through the acknowledgement of all the good. See, this isn't being preached or taught. All the good that is in you. You've been taught all your life. There is no good in us. There's only one that's good. There was a time when that was true. I mean, without Jesus, we're lost. Okay? But now that I've become a new man, Scripture says that there's stuff in me that I'm not even aware of yet. And my journey now from here till He returns or I go to be with Him is going to be allowing through the study of the Word and through a confident, and this is the kicker right here, a confident relationship born out of a continuing progressive revelation of His love for me, not my love for Him. John put it this way, we love Him because He first loved us. There's a switcheroo from what you normally hear. I'm very glad for the love of God this morning. And it never ends. Amazing. I'm very glad for the love of God. Hallelujah. Brand new. On the inside. Let me go back to the thought, and I just remembered. I knew if I rambled on long enough, I'd remember it. You getting something out of this today? Aren't you glad for Jesus? When we begin to agree with what the Word of God says about the completed work in Christ, what we look like on the inside, and we begin to, by faith, say, okay, Lord. See, the way it was when we were walking in religion is we never felt like we measured up. We never felt like we were prepared or ready to enter and walk in the presence of God. Many of us who have grown up in varying religious backgrounds, it was all about, most of our walk in God was about readying ourselves to be in the presence of God, or readying ourselves to be used by God. And you were always second-guessing yourself or second-guessing somebody. I mean, it's just the way. There was no confidence there. I'll tell you what. You begin to get a hold of the fact of this, that what He did in Christ is complete already in you. Your journey now is not about trying to be holy. Your journey now is He has made me holy. I, in His eyes, am made righteous. And now my journey is to let my outside man, by His grace and with His power, yield to who I already am. My identity is no longer found in this exterior man. How many know that there are people who their whole identity is wrapped up in a vest, on a chopper? There's a few of us in here that our whole identity was wrapped up in it. Grab your hat there, Dad, and lift it up. Our whole identity. That's a good identity, but that's not my only identity. Our whole identity used to be wrapped up in a hat. Our whole identity was wrapped up in a work. How many are glad today that I got a brand new, I'm refathered. Come on, because of Jesus. Made new. a new identity. Now, I can be that now, but be totally different. Thank God for our individual identities, but my identity in Him makes who I am, where I walk in life, effective in the communication of the power of God. How many in here have a desire to be effective? Come on. Hallelujah. How many glad for Jesus today? So, that's what He's speaking to. He is calling on us to dare to believe that in the Spirit. Philemon 1:6, let me repeat it to you one more time. Our faith is made effectual when we are willing to yield, acknowledge, agree, John, with what God has said about the inside of us. I don't know about you, but there's days when I'm not hitting on all cylinders. My thoughts are not where they belong. Somebody ticks me off. And by the end of the day, I walk in and Jackie says something and I bite her head off. Don't look at me like that. I'm human. Cut me. I bleed red just like you. I got to go back, tell her, honey, I'm sorry. There's an outward man. But you know, I got to remind myself a lot of times, we got to back up and realize, and it's very easy for us on those kind of days to begin to revert to trying to fix me. The best thing you can do, make things right with who you've hurt. Make things right with your spouse. Make things right with them. And say, Father, I'm not going back down that tunnel. I know who I am in You. I acknowledge the good that is in me in Christ Jesus, and I'm going to dare to step forward and away from this stuff. I'm sorry. It's okay to tell God you're sorry. How many know it's okay? He's Daddy God. Abba Father, the Spirit of adoption in you cries, Daddy God. That's what the Word of God says. How many are glad for Jesus today? All right. So this right here is speaking to your true identity. How many in here can stretch yourself this morning and dare to see by faith that you are seated with Jesus in the heavenlies? On those days, like I mentioned before, on those days like that, there comes a point where I have to pull myself together, pull myself up by my bootstraps. Paul put it this way, gird up the loins of your mind and remind myself of who I am and whose I am. Let yesterday fall behind as I press forward in the walk of righteousness by faith. You'll see the work of God happen in you more by accident that way than you ever could do on purpose before through works. How many are glad for Jesus? Amen. So let's look at this one more time. Chapter 2. Even when we were dead in sins, that means you didn't have diddly squat. Can I say that in church? To do with it? Are you here today? When we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. That's why it took exceeding great power. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The heart belief spoken with the mouth activates some things, supernatural things in our lives. I want everybody in here, man, if you know the Lord, I want you to out loud say with me, out loud, say it. Let your neighbor hear you. I'm seated together with Jesus in the heavenlies. Now I want you to say it loud enough for you to hear yourself say it. I'm seated together with Jesus in the heavenlies. You get your identity where it belongs. Young couple, you won't have to worry about divorce. Single person, you won't have to worry about who that mate will be. Young couple who are finding your way in life and searching for that career, you have a clarity and a wisdom that comes from a knowledge of who I am, who He is in me. He's got my back because I've let Him have it. Are we doing all right today? Woo! And the future's so bright, I got to wear shades. Okay, so here we go. He's made us sit together. Now this thing of this word sit. I want you to keep your thumb in Ephesians and jump with me over to the book of Hebrews. Can you do that? Hebrews. Would somebody find Hebrews for me in my Bible? I can't find it. Hebrews chapter 10. This is what he's talking about. Paul's laying out some stuff that is powerful. The first, I can't wait till we get to 4, because this is where our belief now grows legs and comes in touch with planet Earth and begins to tell us how we now can walk in the Spirit by His grace, no longer according to legal code, but constrained by the love of Christ in us, we should make a difference in the world we live in. It's not make a difference in the world we live in so that God will love us more or empower us, but because of who I already am and because I'm trusting Him, He now empowers me. Let me know you don't have to be perfect. In fact, you probably never will be perfect. I love to tell the story, and I tell it from time to time. There was a young kid at a ranch that I worked on, had never been in church, never been around church, never knew anything about it. He went into a regular Baptist church one time, lasted about 10 minutes, and went out of there like crazy when they started talking in tongues. Old David Yates. Freaked him out. Yeah, it's the old Southern regular Baptist. And yeah, not like Baptists like you're thinking. I mean, they were straight up like hardcore holiness people. And at any rate, that's the only time he'd ever been around anything like that. David, I remember when I first met him straight out of high school, and I had been on this place for several years, the Lord really put him on my heart. And I began to pray for him, and I could tell there was a sensitivity there. There was just an openness, searching. His dad was a desperate drunk, and just a tough, tough deal. David Yates watched me like a hawk for 4 years. And he will tell you today, you were not perfect. But he said, you were consistent in this. When you blew it, you admitted it, and you kept on going. And he said, that spoke to me coming from a broken home, not knowing anything about what God. He said, the fact that you weren't afraid to be you, and when you blew it, you could not. Listen, people, it's not about being perfect on the outside. But if you trust that He's already made you perfect on the inside, then it's not hard to fess up and admit. I remember one time, and I promise I'm not telling this because I got Kevin Hedgepeth here or anybody else. It just there's a trigger in this dialogue. I remember there was a particular big old yellow dun that would not stand in the gate as I was sorting cattle. And I remember in a burst of anger, after that old pony got board-sided a few times, I jumped over to where the catwalk was, grabbed a short hot shot off of the catwalk, jammed that thing on her fanny, and swapped ends. And before I knew what happened, I said, that'll teach you to get your A around. Now, that may not be a big deal. It's not going to send anybody to hell. But those guys who had been watching me said, you laugh like you've been there, Kevin. Now I got a problem. If I'm proud, I have a problem. I know who I am and where I'm going. I have an opportunity. And the opportunity came in saying, hey guys, I wasn't right. They weren't used to hearing a cowboy say, I'm sorry about anything. So they're looking at their feet. But 4 years later, when David Yates stood in my church, now 22 years of age, with tears running down his face, giving his heart to the Lord, solid to this day, and well-known with a good reputation. He said, it wasn't because you were perfect, but it's because you really believed what you believed. And you stayed true to that. How many in here are willing to acknowledge all the good? Come on, are you in here today? All the good that is in you in Christ Jesus. You're going to blow it. You're not going to be perfect. Paul put it this way. He said, until the day I die, my dependency is on him. I'm not giving excuse for bad behavior. None of us want to do that. If you really know God, I don't care how bad you blow afterwards. If you're born again, you're in turmoil. You know. And it's not God condemning you. It's the Holy Spirit in you who is grieving because you've gone a route that's going to hurt you and others around you. All you got to do is thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for staying close, for being there, hanging tight together. Thank you, Jesus, that in my struggle you don't leave, but you hold tighter and you pray for me. This is what the Bible says he does. He intercedes for me, Abby Champy. How many are glad for Jesus this morning? Boy, this is good preaching, whether you think so or not. Seated. Hebrews 10. Starting with verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image, of the things. Can never, with those sacrifices, he's speaking of the old sacrifice, bulls and goats, ram, all types and shadows, not the real deal. They prophetically spoke forward. The Torah itself literally means instruction towards Messiah. The doctrines of Christ referenced in Hebrews 6 are speaking of Jewish tenets of faith that point forward towards Messiah. And here Paul, well, I believe it's Paul, whoever is writing Hebrews, is saying that the law didn't have the power. It was something that spoke in types and shadows of something that was to be in the future. And he's saying, look at what he says. We'll just keep reading. Which they offered year by year, speaking of the temple and the priests and the sacrifices, which they offered year by year continually. Let me back up, make sure I'm saying it right. So, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they make, offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. He's saying that no matter how religious and how big of a deal all that was, it could not make anybody perfect. And he goes on to say, for then would they not have ceased to be offered. In other words, if it would have worked, it would have been done one time and it was over. But they did it continually every year. Because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. That's a shocking statement. He's saying that if what they were doing really worked, there would be no conscience anymore of sin. That's a challenge for me. Because that means that when God looks at me, he does not see me as a sinner. That's why I don't let the words come out of my mouth anymore. I'm a sinner saved by grace. What I say is I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus who still sins from time to time. Huge difference between those two. Chad, would you mind going in there and turning that heat off? I don't want you to fall asleep on me. I'm not done yet. I got another hour. No, I'm kidding. Mostly. So look at what he says. He's saying there's a place where I become more conscious of who I am in Christ than I am of my failure. In fact, he goes further than that. He says there remains no more conscience of sin. Whew. That's a challenge. That doesn't mean that there isn't a place to acknowledge that in my flesh I've got some growing to do. But I better understand that my strength of walking more and more like him, and my language being more and more like him, and my lifestyle and my reaction to problem being more, is contingent not on what I do, but in receiving who he has made me to be already in the Spirit. Say with me one more time, I'm seated. I'm seated. That's a big deal. Seated with him in the heavenlies. Let me show you why that phraseology is used. Once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again and again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared. And he begins to go into the prophetic scriptures that speak of the work of Jesus. Jump down to verse 12 for time's sake, where he says, but this man, speaking of Jesus, is a different kind of priest. What he did as the sacrificial Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Shocking. Look at what he says. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Done. You think when you blew it, something changed and God had to distance himself or go to the next room? That'll get you in trouble. That'll cause the outward man to lead your life. When you let who you were be restored to your identity instead of who you are and who he's looking at. It's amazing that even before Jesus died, the compassion and the grace and the strength he had with old Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, and my God, did he ever. 3 times he cursed and swore, denying that he even knew who Jesus was. And here was Jesus, who knew what was coming down the road, said, but Peter, I've prayed for you. I find it interesting that that's the guy God chose to preach the first revival meeting in the book of Acts. Pretty awesome. An imperfect man. How many are glad for Jesus today? 3 of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? All right, so here we go. Let's look at this a little more. We doing all right? It's early, people. It's 11:20. That's awesome. For but one offering, let me back up. So let's start at 12 again so we don't lose track. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever. I know people in this church today that says, man, I love what's going on here, but if they preach that once saved, always saved stuff, I'm out. I agree with that heart because it sees a frivolous understanding of salvation and I can do whatever I want and everything's okay because I signed a card. But I'm also here to tell you that if you've truly come into Jesus, you may be all over the place in your outward life. You may be back into sin. You may be hitting the guardrails. You may be a wreck. And you're staying there because nobody's telling you this good news, because you're now identifying with your sin, with a dead man. The way out is not to fix that dead man. Let the dead man stay dead and begin to walk in the newness of life that's already on the inside of you. Religion tells you to do that. The gospel says, dare to believe that his love for you is beyond your imagination. Just trust it and go. Trust and obey. or there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I'm here happy in Jesus today. Good news. I'd say perfected forever means perfected forever. I looked it up in the Greek and it still says the same thing in the Greek. That means there's a part of you. That's why I think the best thing you can do is get over you and start believing God about who the real you really is. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant, and he's quoting now the prophet Joel, supernaturally in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus, says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. It'll no longer be something written on stone, but the Holy Spirit in them will be a new law written in their hearts. So he speaks to me, and I know his voice. I love this. And their sins, you read your own Bible. Look at what it says. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You want to know how to begin to walk freer from sin? How many still struggle in some areas? I got you all beat. But I'll tell you what, I'm struggling less the more I get a hold of this reality. Are you here today? When I know that that is no longer a big deal for him this way. Now it's a big deal for him this way, because how many know sin is stupid and it hurts and it's costly? It can take a person's life. But if we're trusting who he is and looking to him and seeing who we are, I'll tell you what, Psalms 5:12, never forget it, says this. Speaking forward of the day we live in, that he surrounds us with his favor like a shield. Are you here today? Come on, would you stand up? Stand up. We're not leaving yet. Don't get excited. I want you to stand up. Turn around. Come on, all the way around. You feel silly? Me too. Say it out loud, a shield. Come on, a shield. Somebody needs to receive that this morning. A shield that keeps me from going down. Come on, a shield that keeps me from going under. A shield that keeps me seeing and believing that what he said is true. Especially about me. Because if I can't believe it about me, how am I going to be a help to anybody else? You can sit back down because we're not done yet. We're just a few minutes from it. A shield. I'm very glad for Jesus today. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's nothing else you can do but receive. If I fail, I need to get back up, dust my spiritual knees off. Fanny, shoulder back wherever, stand back up. Well, I blew it. I'm sorry. That's not who I am. I receive. He said, well, you don't deserve that. Well, yeah, that's what grace is. Undeserved. I qualify. I step into a new future. Stronger because I humble myself and put myself in agreement with what he has said about who I am in him. Seated in the heavenlies. Keep reading with me just a little bit more. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness I remember back a number of years ago, a couple hired me to take them through Mexico. This was back before NAFTA. I did this more than once. missionary couple. And I say, hired me. I didn't want any money from them, but they paid me well for the trip. And things were pretty tough then. And I remember going into the border. And I don't even remember the name of the border. It was somewhere, as I remember, in the Big Bend country. We tried to go through a little old place to have less trouble. When we got there, there were people with stuff pulled out of their cars all over the place and down the road on both sides, and the Mexican guards were all over the place. It was a wreck. And I walked into the office, and I said, is there any way I could speak to the jefe? I know Spanish, so that helps a lot. And I wasn't afraid because I'd been here before. How many know that helps a lot? You got to get a hold of this revelation that perfect love, his perfect love for you, not yours for him. His, a revelation of his perfect love for you cast out fear. I walked in there, bold. And I remember walking up to the counter, and this was back, you know, we're talking before NAFTA and all that. So this building was probably 150 years old. It was when the guard was still carrying low-slung bolero-type pistols. It's funny. It's like a B Western. And you walk in there, and the guards are in their big old wooden desk, been there forever. And I said, I want to speak to the jefe. They said, why is that? I said, I'm not going to Mexico, and I'm not staying in Mexico. I'm going through Mexico. I have to be through Mexico, Guatemala, and in Honduras, and I named the day. And the guy said, I'm sorry, nobody's crossing today. And I said, oh, no, I have to cross today. Well, I'm sorry, the jefe's gone home. And when he said that, I stepped over and looked down through a long hallway, and I can see right on the door, Comandante whatever, whatever. And the door slightly opened, and there's a huge Mexican dude sitting there, great big old cowboy hat. I looked down, and I said, that's him right there. What do you mean he's gone home? And two guards stepped in my way and shoved me with their rifles. And I said, he's here, and I want to talk to him. I don't know if you get away with this nowadays, but I did then. He's here, and I want to talk to him. And I heard way from the back, inside that old, that big old wooden building, ceiling fans hotter than heck, I heard, déjalo que entre. Let him come in. Those guys pulled back, and I walked down the hallway, stepped in, he goes, cierra la puerta. Just me and him in the door. He laughed. He sat back, great big huge guy, and he's doing like this with his fingers on the desk, and he goes, so, ¿cuánto te vale? How much is it worth to you? I smiled back, and I said, que tú lo digas. You tell me. Oh, he thought that was great. The absence of fear and not getting angry makes a big difference in those deals, it used to. He laughed. He goes, and back then it was a lot of money. He goes, mid-80s. He says, $120. I laughed right back, and I said, 30. He laughed. He goes, no, muchacho. He goes, I'll tell you what. And we did our little bartering down to, I think I ended up paying, no kidding, he came my way. It was like $40 or $45. I said, I'll be right back. He laughed. I walked out to the car, got the cash, came back in, handed it to him. He said, vamos, muchacho, put his hand on my shoulder, walks with this big, huge guy, walks with me right out past all these people, barks some orders, and the next thing you know, we were in our vehicle with a trailer behind us, heading past the whole wreck, free, heading off into Mexico. True story. Wouldn't tell you anything else. Boldness. I knew the language. I knew the system. I knew the kind of things they liked. It's always a risk. It could have backfired. But boldness, that's a picture of that. We're talking about a whole different thing here. We've been told all of our lives to cower before a mighty, righteous, holy, awesome God. You better be careful, for he's holy And listen, my Bible just said that because of the blood of Jesus and his work, that now as a son and a daughter of God, I walk in bold. Can you get your little pea brain? I get it out, right? Sometimes I just get so frustrated with myself. Come on. Can you get it wrapped around? I don't think we ever can. It's something you got to take by faith. But here's what my Bible says. Having. Would you say it with me today? I've got it. Not something I'm getting. I've got it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In other words, he hung on a tree, a representation of a veil, that which separated us from God. He was nailed there and shed blood, and that veil was forever removed. I'm very glad for Jesus. And having a high priest over the house of God, speaking of Jesus, let us draw near now with a true heart in full assurance of faith. This is how John puts it in 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. And we know we have already that which we have desired of him. I want to challenge you this morning. Be bold. I'm very glad for Jesus today. I find that people that are less bold because they hold back, because they don't have a revelation of who they are, because they don't have a revelation of the love of God, struggle more with controlling their emotions and saying things and behaving ways that are unchristlike than those who are bold. We just dare to believe and step out there. We're laying down the gauntlet for the enemy, for those around, and making a statement, and God backs us. Anyway, that's another subject. I don't have time to amplify. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Pretty amazing stuff. Can you say amen? There's one more verse, and then I want to shut this down for today. You getting anything out of this? I'm very glad you came to church. Whew. This is why. Let me just share this with you, and then we'll. Why am I not seeing that verse? Or did we read it already? Where it says that he sits down. We read it, didn't we? We did read it. Okay, so we got that. Okay, then the next point. Okay, good. I wasn't sure if I'd covered it. Okay, so we see where he sat down. He's the only high priest who ever sat down. Because sitting down means the work is complete. So parting shot, we're going to get out of here. I'm not going to call this early anymore. I'm working on shutting down at a decent time. You praying for me? You believe in God with me? All right, so here we go. Look at 1 John. First John chapter 4 speaks once again of boldness. 1 John chapter 4:16, and we have known and believed that we have known and believed the love. What have you believed? I remember teaching this 15 years ago, 20 years ago, and a little afraid of what I was saying, and felt like I needed to bring balance to the Word of God. That's sick. And a bunch of us preachers did it. We were afraid to say that a revelation of the love of God was all you needed. I'm not anymore. The more you understand how far that love goes, the more you'll walk righteous by accident than you ever did on purpose. And we have known and believed what? The church system? The bylaws of our denomination? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Herein. Not belief in a system, belief in his love. Every day, that's a challenge in a walk of faith. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. If you have your Bibles open, I want you to underline this. If you've got it on a phone, figure out a way to not forget it. Cut and paste, do whatever you got to do. Look at what he says. Herein. How? Because as he is. How is he? Raised to the heavenlies through the work of God, the exceeding great power of God, which raised him from the dead. The next verse, the next chapter in Ephesians says, and we were made alive together with him and caused to be seated in the heavenlies. Seated. Finished. Done. Never again to worry about what God feels or thinks towards me. Done. If you're still sin conscious, you need a revelation of this. The more you look at your failure and your sin, and that most of Christianity is telling you, you need to watch yourself, you need to do maintenance, you need to every day check yourself. Listen, let me tell you about that. Do you know that most head-on collisions happen because of somebody who was looking in the rearview mirror? Don't look back, look forward. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3. This one thing I do, I forget what is behind. Trust him and move forward into my high calling in Christ Jesus. I don't care how bad you've been hurt. I don't care how bad you've been abused. I don't need to make light of that. But I'll tell you what, the world is making too much of abuse today. We can choose to be a victim or we can choose to be a victor. And because of the blood of Jesus and because I've been re-fathered. Are you here today? I got a future in him that is completely different. How do you end something like this? You got something to study, don't you? Stand with me this morning, all over the room. Would you have the boldness to lift your hands today? Some of you need to get over that thing. Get your elbows above your ears. The freedom. Say, you're it, man. I surrender. How we love you today. I honor you and give you thanks. As he is. I'd like you to whisper that this morning before we go in these remaining moments. Would you just say it out loud? Rehearse that heavenly truth spoken over you as He is. Man, I can't see it. I'm so aware of my struggle, John. I got to get a hold of this because it's the truth. As He is, say it out loud, as He is, so am I. See, you're speaking, prophesying. You're putting yourself, John Corbett, in agreement, acknowledging the work of God. As He is, shout it out with me, as He is, so am I, in this world. Seated in a finished work. My identity's changed. We give you thanks today, Jesus. Now here's the deal. You can walk out of this anointing and this knowledge and this presence of God and be right downright nasty at the department store Christmas shopping this evening. I've watched it happen. Do what Paul says. Don't go back to works. Gird up the loins of your mind. Remember who you are and let the way you behave flow out of who you have become in Him. Say, I'm seated. Seated in the heavenly. And when you blow it, don't go back. This is a monopoly. Right there, get back up. Tell whoever's sorry and move forward. For greater is He that is in you than He that is in the world. Because of Jesus. How many love Him today? We're glad you came to church. Let me pray for you as we're dismissed. When we dismiss, we're going to continue to worship. Altars are open. If you don't know Jesus or you aren't sure, I'd love to lead you into a relationship with Him as we continue to worship. If you have a need in prayer, we believe that if we agree and pray together, God's going to move. We watch it. I talked to somebody last night. It was Greg's wife. I didn't even know it. Broke her back. Come on the horse. We just suffered so many years with her back. From religious activity and enter in.